Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. What a weekend.
Oh.
We are coming off of, and just thinking about that, you could apply that just to the non-sports thing. We are a sports show, but there was plenty of non-sports things this weekend, including, I heard Jeffrey tease it to finish off Jeff's show. That Drake and Kendrick beef is at a level, whew, I thought, yeah, I tweeted about it over the weekend, where I'm getting concerned. We will talk about it, because there was another turn. There was another big turn yesterday. We'll tell you how we're going to sort of, you know, approach that now. Who's winning now? Is it over? Because Drake said something about Kendrick yesterday in terms of what he's done with these songs that may end it. We'll talk about why you also had the Riverbeat Music Festival, which although it, you know, rained yesterday and maybe not as attended as festival organizers had hoped, in terms of the acts themselves, looked like a success.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess technically this is sports, but it was non-sports. We had the Tom Brady roast last night. Non-sports
in the
sense that for 3 hours you were watching
yes.
Tom Brady up on a stage on Netflix live. That was the other thing about this. It was live, getting absolutely roasted. And when we talked about this on Friday, or I think it was Friday
yeah,
or Thursday,
Friday.
We talked
yeah.
about this. Friday.
You talked about it.
We were like, well, what are they going to get on Tom on? We know they can get a Deflategate and everything. Why didn't we know that, of course, Giselle and, you know, his,
right.
that divorce and everything else was going to be the crypto. Is
crypto,
one,
they got
he
him
got
good.
Killed on a bunch
yeah.
yesterday, and so there were a. And then Tom, of course, got his shot
yep.
there at the end,
yep.
as roasts typically go.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I graded it on Twitter as well. We'll talk about that. Had a great time on Saturday at the We Are Family Alumni Basketball Series. Penny Hardaway was there,
wow.
and he made sure someone else was with him. I cannot wait to tell you that. Different sort of Memphis basketball story about who Penny Hardaway brought with him to White Station on Saturday. I was there in the NBA. We had the Cavaliers close out the Orlando Magic. That was yesterday, and the Mavs did the same on Friday to the Clippers. Kind of all runs together at mm-hmm. this point. Meanwhile, the Nuggets, defending champs, find themselves down 1-0
mm-hmm.
after Minnesota and Anthony Edwards going to Denver and stun a lot of people. I think Anthony Edwards was stunned himself, it sounds like, at how many easy baskets
yeah.
he got in game one of that series. Of course, we can't talk NBA without talking about the segment that's sweeping the country as well. That's Fade Brad. We'll do that at 12:40. I'll set it all up. But Brad, over the weekend,
yeah.
goes 1-2. It's the kind of loser weekend we like. Because,
well,
of
yeah.
course, the purpose in Fade Brad is to do the opposite of what he does. And so if you did... with the picks that we handed out on Friday, you finished 2-1, and I'm telling you right now, Brad, that record's looking really good.
I will tell you, I even offered a bonus pick for the horse race.
Oh, I saw that.
And it also worked.
It failed, right?
It failed.
That's what we're looking for.
In fact, and I'll tell you again when we cover this in the rundown, but the horse I picked didn't even win, place, or show. It was perfectly set at fourth. That's where the horse landed.
Wow.
Fourth. That is when you know
it makes show.
It's a hot bit.
Yeah.
When you can pick the horse, it's not going to finish first, no. second, or third,
no,
fourth
you got,
place.
You got fourth.
Yeah.
You're really good at picking losers.
I sure am.
Yep.
Chasing Liberty, I think, was the horse, or Chasing Freedom. It, yeah, gone.
From what we've gathered so far, Brad is the best edge in betting. if you fade him.
If you go opposite.
Yes, even better than pros, real picks.
Right.
Let me set up the show at noon. We'll do the rundown like usual. Plenty to get to, like we've talked about, 12:40 or so. We'll do that aforementioned Fade Brad segment. Got a couple of games tonight. Hopefully you've done no research.
Not zero.
See, how we do that? We flip it.
Yes.
And we find that we have great success in doing so. At 1 p.m., I got some respect burgers to hand out like we always do on Monday at that time. And then at 1:25, very important, it's an emergency session.
Oh.
An emergency appearance by the great Anthony Saint, who I think is a member of OVO, you know, Drake's crew, October's very own. I think, you know, as much as he holds Drake up as his number one. Drake sent a shot yesterday that may end this whole thing. I need Saint to help me break it down.
Yeah.
And then one thing too, Brad, I don't know if you saw it. It kind of went under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Saint had a tweet this weekend that I think we're going to be talking about here, whether it's the next couple of days, whatever else.
Right.
A little bit of scuttle on the Grizzlies coaching staff and maybe some potential changes. Not with the head coach, obviously. Jenkins ain't going anywhere. But the staff underneath him, the assistant coaching staff. If folks that are following Saint, you already know about it. But if you weren't, you might have gone a little under the radar. We'll see what comes out. But certainly it's something we'll ask Anthony Saint about at 1:25 in that emergency session. So lots to get to. Typically on Mondays, when we've got a lot to get to, we'll do a little cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Let's start with the NBA playoffs here in cap or no cap. This is where we think this is true or false statements. Minnesota-Denver will be the best of the four conference semifinal series in the NBA playoffs. By the way, you can hear the Mavs-OKC game tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on 92. Now, we're going to have several playoff games, but we're talking about Minnesota-Denver specifically. Will that be the best of the four conference semifinal series, cap or no cap?
That is no cap, meaning it is true. For those just catching up with us.
Yes, sir.
I believe it will be the best of the four conference semifinal series. I guess there's a couple of ways you could look at that in terms of when you're saying best, Jason, you're talking most competitive, or are you talking about the one we'll be most interested in? I think this one could cover all of that.
Yep.
We saw it yesterday. Anthony Edwards is not here to play. He's baby Michael Jordan is what he is. And now you've seen others sort of coming around to that comparison. Because, again, Michael Jordan, you know, early in that career and through most of his career, a great two-way player on both sides. And then what Anthony Edwards is doing now at this very young age is just that. But it's the way he's performing now. What was it, two straight 40-point games? Had 43 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Naz Reid really helped him out. No question about that. Had a huge fourth quarter with 14 points. But Anthony Edwards is on a mission. He had 25 in that first half of a 106-99 win over the defending champs. That I don't know how, even if you were picking Denver in this series and then you still feel good about them down 0-1, I don't know how you weren't impressed by what Minnesota brought to the table. I'm telling you, man, this team looks poised in a way that I didn't expect at this point. I mean, you know, clearly they were ready in that first round against Phoenix and dispatched them, but this was supposed to be a level up, right? And yesterday they were testing Denver in a way that, you know, a veteran team, you figure a veteran team that had been here a couple of times would. I think, yes, that this is clearly going to be the most competitive series. And maybe as part of this exercise, we can sort of rank the other three series. Mm-hmm. Because the question really might be, Brad, if you agree with me here that this is truth, that it's no cap, the question might be, what's the second best series? Because I think we can all agree in terms of best series, whether you're talking about interest, whether you're talking about competitiveness, I just don't have much faith in that Boston Cavaliers series. Now that the Cavaliers have moved on, obviously closed out Orlando yesterday. I mean, would you agree with me that in terms of the series, like just your interest personally, Minnesota, Denver won, Cavs, Celtics last, or would you rearrange that? Is OKC Denver? I mean, excuse me, OKC Mavs as good as, you know, Minnesota and Denver?
I like that OKC Mavs a lot.
I've got that too.
I think I would put in McCoy's. How's that? Can we agree on that?
Yeah. I'll let you have that.
Yeah.
I've got it 1-2 in terms of Minnesota, Denver. Then I'll go Mavs, OKC, because I am interested. Okay. Again, is this OKC team going to look as poised, right, and as ready for this, as young as they are, against a Dallas Mavericks team that's obviously got some experience? And again, I just continue to be amazed by how together they are defensively.
Yeah.
That's the part of it that I was not bought into during the regular season and have had to come around on. And then, you know, Knicks Pacers, I think you could make a case might be the second best. Again, maybe I might do it as a 2A and 2B in terms of Mavs, OKC, Knicks Pacers, because, listen, Knicks Pacers was always good back in the day.
And I was thinking
you're
going to
get some of those old feels,
right?
And again, we've mentioned it, the Pacers aren't just, you know, completely new to this in the sense that Pascal Siakam, who's been huge for them, has got that sort of championship DNA that we've talked about. That's tougher, you know, for young teams to handle in that case. So we'll see. We may even talk about our picks for that series a little bit later on. But I don't. I mean, whether it's the star power, right? You got the MVP,
yes,
and Jokic, obviously. But then, you know, what Ant is doing, and if you've watched any, you know, SportsCenter, any debate shows, you know, over the last 4 or 5 days, really since they've dispatched Phoenix, it's all you hear now.
It's
how amazed, something, you know, I tweeted a week or so ago, just how amazing and how fast this is happening with Anthony Edwards, who just seems to absolutely get it. And Mike Conley had sort of had talked about that after the game. I'm proud of the way he's accepted the kind of growth he needed to have to have to be where he is, said Conley had 14 and 10. We're rooting for Mike Conley, too, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Nice little double-double for him. I saw some scuttle that, I think it was my man saying, I saw going back and forth with somebody that thought, you know, any veteran guard sort of in the position Mike is could have the same sort of role. But I'm not sure that it's not just perfect for Mike and that maybe you wouldn't have this sort of growth, even from an Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
I mean, you saw those two on the podium together afterwards, and that's why Mike was talking about it. He actually said it's not easy for a 22, 23-year-old to make that adjustment so quickly, and Edwards jumped in, I'm 22, you know, to correct. Their relationship is awesome, and I have to sit here and think that veterans like Mike Conley, obviously Kyle Anderson, have had a huge deal in terms of, you know, helping Anthony realize, you know, a guy, again, we've talked about this a ton, but a guy coming out of college, you wonder, is he mature enough? Is this what he wants to do? I think they've had a great deal in helping mature him. So I'm going to go, and maybe you disagree with me, I'm going no cap, that Minnesota-Denver is certainly the best, what is this, conference semifinal series that we've got right now. But I guess I could hear a case that, like you made, that OKC Mavs is 1B.
So I'm going to go through them here real quick. I think we can both agree on Cavs, Boston, the least favorite.
Yes.
So that's easily.
I think most people would agree on that. I think the Celtics are going to handle them just fine. Jared Allen, though, and his availability for the Cavs will obviously be a factor in that. And I guess the Celtics are going to be down Porzingis. So maybe that's going to be a little bit more competitive than I think. But I think ultimately Boston comes out of it. That's why I'm not as interested.
And I think Boston needs to come out of that.
Well,
they need
have to.
Put the gas down on the Cavs. They should take care of business.
You lose the Cavs. Missoula. Yeah. I realize they had the best record in the league this year, but you lose the Cavs in the second round with, you know, these are championship hopes.
Yes.
It's not even about getting to the final for the Celtics. We expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But Missoula's head could roll if you're losing to the Cavs. I do not, I don't expect that. I don't expect that to go 6-7 games.
No.
Maybe six, but I think the Celtics will handle them for the most part.
Very excited about Mavs OKC. That's why I'm hesitant to call Minnesota Denver my favorite, because I don't want to be influenced by the first win, which was a surprise. I think it was a surprise to most people that Minnesota did that. But the Mavs OKC thing is cool to me. Indy Pacers.
Star power's in that one, too.
Pacers New York, like you pointed out, kind of gave me flashback vibes.
Still old school.
Yeah.
I think it was 2013 or maybe
Sounds
it was before
right.
then, the last time those two met in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was always.
So I'm with you on this. I think you're right. I think that's one. I might just right below
Sorry,
Mavs.
You got a 1B. That's cool.
Indy's probably
you
third.
You copped out. That's all right. You got two ones. You copped out a little bit, but I'm going to hold it against you on a Monday.
So let's go to this thing last night. This is something I did see. I told you I was pretty busy this weekend, but I had full attention because my wife was obsessed. She is obsessed with Tom Brady. I'm telling you, Jason, she had on a Tom Brady jersey to watch this stupid roast last night. I'm like, get the hell out of our living room.
How many Tom Brady jerseys does she own?
She has a couple of them. One of them's pink, and this woman, she's obsessed. She's obsessed. She has a TB12 jersey from Tampa Bay. She has a, I don't want to say we have hall passes in our relationship, because those don't exist in our relationship. However,
I would hope not.
If there were such a thing allowed in the relationship, I'm sure that Tom Brady would be her hall pass, Jason Smith.
Well, in terms of the two female comedians, did you see most of their stuff was about come and get me?
So
it's all women, right?
There was a meniscus.
He has a power.
There was a meniscus joke that Kevin Hart slipped in there that was related to what you just said that was real. I mean,
lewd.
lewd.
There was so yes. The sexual energy.
Let me just get you.
The sexual comedy I was not prepared for.
And Nikki Glaser special. Let me tee it up for you here. The Tom Brady roast that we speak of last night that was live on Netflix was worth the watch. Cap or no cap?
It's no cap. It's true.
Yes.
And those that didn't see it live there, I would recommend to go back and watch it.
Amen.
I would tell you this a little bit first before
Please
we
take
get
us
to
through it
some of these jokes. I was really impressed by how well Tom handled it because you and I had talked about on Fridays. Is he relatable enough, number one, to be able to handle, you know, these sorts of jokes, especially if they got down and dirty? You know, is he going to be able to sit up there and take it? Because Tom's got as big as ego as anybody in the world. And you heard that if you caught
yes.
him at the end. Man, did you hear what he told Julian Edelman? You'll never be me. Like,
bro.
Some of that felt a little real.
It felt super
jealous little sucker.
Yes.
So back to the point with the E, you just wondered how he would be in terms of accepting this. And then, again, like all roasts, you have your chance to defend yourself and shoot back. Is he going to be somebody that owns it? He's going to be uncomfortable in this situation. We know we got him. He's coming up on Fox this year. Going to be for that first year. We'll see him as an analyst, and we'll see how good he does there. I thought he was fantastic. Now, apparently, in terms of cross the line, I was watching Brady closely, and it seems like Jeff Ross is the only one where he felt like he had to step up. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw it.
Jeff Ross had a joke about meeting about Robert Kraft and Tom Brady sort of meeting for the first time. We know Robert Kraft had his legal issues with the massages, and it was a joke that went along the lines of when they first met. He's like, "Hi, I'm Tom Brady. Would you like a massage?" And kind of, yeah. I mean, that one actually, I thought it was low on the terms
of
thought there were
personal.
I thought there were some ones that might be a little bit more hurtful
and
personal.
To me.
But Tom got up.
Yes, it clearly
and
hit
went
the mark.
To Jeff Ross and said, "Don't say that ish again."
Yeah.
So and Jeff Ross, you could tell by his reaction, was like, "Okay," he put his hands up. Okay,
yeah,
like
I'm
I will
out.
Get off
okay.
of that one.
Yeah.
That was the only time that it appeared to me. I mean, you mentioned her. Nikki Glaser?
Oh, she's
This is my first time.
She's from St. Louis.
About
yeah, she's from St. Louis.
So you know her. You know
her very well.
Her history
I know
well,
all her material.
So
she's also very attractive.
I'll let you have that as well and would agree with that. How big is she?
Huge.
Just in terms
she's
of,
huge.
Okay,
no, she's a superstar.
I'm learning. And somebody else told me
in
she's,
the comic world, she's pretty
Somebody
big.
Else told me she's coming to the Orpheum
yes.
in November. That might actually be, after watching her for the first time last night, something I'm interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she's great.
My wife and I will have to go
now,
in
it's very
understanding
sexual. Now, her normal,
how lewd it is
no,
going
her
to be.
Her normal shtick is sexual. That's where
I
she
see.
Goes all the time is sexual.
I see, and she did. And, you know, whether she was talking about Tom's ex, Giselle, and how he's with the jiu-jitsu
They all got
now.
Into the jiu-jitsu stuff.
You know, or what she wants Tom to sort of do to her,
oh,
like all of that came out. And again, if you're not, you know, if you're somebody that can't handle and there are times where I'm just like, this is too much. But if you're not somebody that can handle lots of sexual
jokes, yeah, we
were jokes,
fine with it at our
then
house.
Then you probably don't want to watch last night. A couple others that I thought were great. I didn't expect it because they were joking about him. Drew Bledsoe was joking about him not being there early on, and Drew Bledsoe was one of the first guys to go out. Bill Belichick comes out.
Yes.
And I thought he was great.
He was fantastic.
I think this speaks to what I've been telling John, that when the Mannings have got
too.
Him.
You called this.
When
you
the Mannings are going to get him on this,
he's
you know,
be
on
great.
This cast or whatever else, it won't be a part of the Manning cast. I guess technically it'll be his own sort of cast, but it's under Omaha Productions. Dude.
Credit to you. You nailed this.
He ain't the same guy
nope.
that says we're on to Cincinnati.
No, you nailed this.
That the media was getting after wins and losses.
Yep.
As he was the longtime coach of the New England Patriots. There's a lot in there to like.
Yes.
Whether it's the stories, the dry sense of humor, his willingness to, again, in this instance, talk about
Amendola.
Kind of what
he said, Amendola, your two best games were 200 yards and 300 yards. That's called a good game by Randy Moss.
Pretty good. He shot bullets at just about everybody except Rodney Harrison, who he said should be in the Hall of Fame. But everybody else, he shot shots at, and he addressed sort of the elephant in the room, which is, you know, there's this debate. Was it all Tom? Was it Bill too? Do you have to include him? Tom leaves, wins one in Tampa, and we say, well, clearly it was Tom because he won one without and he addressed all that.
Yeah.
He openly said it. Yeah, I hate you. Just like we thought Drew Bledsoe must hate Tom
yes,
Brady
yes.
in the sense that right? I mean, at least somewhat.
Boy, Drew got pretty personal, too.
Because Drew Bledsoe is the guy, obviously, that because of his injuries, and I think that was against the Jets.
Yes.
That was one of Tom's not-so-good ones about the, yeah.
Kind of fell flat.
The towers, that one,
yeah.
I thought yeah,
that's a little
line.
Too,
but back,
yeah, I agree.
Back to the point, Bledsoe talked about it. You're the guy that took my job, goes and wins championships and everything else, and the only reason I got a ring is because you won me one. I mean, talked about how much I thought he was great. Again, it's an observation I talked about on Twitter, but for the most part, I thought you could have stuck with most of the football guys and had them as the majority of it, because at 3 hours, it got a little long, and some of those professional comics, well, the pair, the two white guys,
it was fine. I'm pretty familiar. Kreischer.
Is that who they are?
Bert Kreischer, he's fine.
I didn't need that. And I'll tell you this, I'm a sucker for Will Ferrell playing Ron Burgundy. I'm a sucker for Ron Burgundy. I always have been. Just about anything he does is Ron Burgundy cracks me up. And when Ron Burgundy comes out, you know, talking about San Diego and all this stuff, and says he's in New York, even though they're in L.A., just acting dumb, the entrance was fantastic, and the crowd went crazy.
Yeah, they did.
But it went on too long.
It was too much.
The bit went on too long on that one. And again, too long was part of the theme last night. Thought Kevin Hart did a pretty good job.
I thought that was good.
Doing a pretty good job hosting the thing. Tom Brady joked in his part of the roast when he got up and did his thing to finish it on out that he wished it had been Dave Chappelle, that Kevin was the second pick. I thought that was hilarious. Just as you would expect, a ton of Kevin Hart is short jokes.
Yes.
I mean, that didn't stop. And also just a ton of Kevin Hart, you know, will be in whatever movies. He gets up to make a bad movie at 4 a.m. I think that
Glazer
might have been,
got
I'm
that
pulling
one
that one off of Nikki Glazer. Here, Jeff Ross, Tom was drafted 199th in the NFL draft. He sat there for days waiting and waiting, was finally picked in the sixth round when Bill Belichick's dog stepped on the keyboard by accident. Nikki Glazer, you have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back.
Ooh. Oh, that was rough.
A lot of those. It was a fake smile on Tom when he got the Giselle joke.
Yeah, it was tough.
Just about everybody seemed like they were.
Because they're like, you willingly
it was not
opened
off
it up.
Limits,
the jiu-jitsu guy really got.
And a credit to Tom that he had allowed them to hit whatever they wanted to, it seemed like to me. Again, other than Ross's joke about Robert Kraft and the massage thing, it seemed like, you know, Tom, while, you know, you might have had to cringe on a couple of them and fake laugh, it seemed like Tom was willing to allow them to go to any degree they wanted to. And we had asked the question on Friday, how relatable is he going to be? Because if you're the common man, you got to be open to that. Is Tom, the GOAT, going to be open to that? And he was. So I got to give him credit for how he sort of just gave them free roam in terms of what they were able to say about him. And yes, I'll say that some of it got a little personal to the point you're like, whoa, that might be crossing the line. But absolutely, back to the question at hand, it is absolutely worth the watch if you didn't catch it live last night to go back on Netflix. Looked like a huge success, too. I'm imagining Netflix is going to have some huge numbers off of this thing. Because we had, again, a live roast where you get to hear all the real, nothing's cut out, bleeped out, anything else. Did all those guys stay on stage the whole time?
Yes.
And I know they were joking about having to go to the bathroom and everything afterwards. Yeah. If that's true and they didn't cut away, Tom never left. I would have had to go to the bathroom at some point.
I will say, and by the way, I thought your assessment of the night was spot on. I retweeted you because I agreed with
FanDuel it. FanDuel last a grade at 8F. I gave it an A-. Only doctored for length.
Perfect recap by you. I also give it an A- for all the reasons you did. The three people I wrote down were Bledsoe. I thought Drew Bledsoe was a freaking home run.
He got up there
run.
With his wine.
Oh.
I'm assuming it's from his own.
Yes,
you know,
he's got
his own winery.
His winery.
Well, of course, I'm assuming that's what he had in his glass. His laid back. Comedians get up there and they're trying to get
That's
off as
not
many
his
jokes.
Jam usually.
They're trying to get off as many jokes in their time allotted as possible, and they're all coming off clean and crisp. It was like Drew could feel the wine a little bit. Man, I'm going to own that, you know, but absolutely.
By the way, it looked fantastic. He looked like $1 million.
He does look fantastic.
I mean, he's got to be 50 plus. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does. Didn't somebody make a joke about Tom messing with Drew's wife, too, at one point?
I think that might have got in there.
Like, it got
dicey.
But,
it got pretty
big. Everybody seemed to be a good sport.
But I wrote Bledsoe, Glazer, and then I love Jeff Ross. I think he's hilarious.
Well, isn't he the roast master?
He's supposed to be the king of this format.
And apparently he is the one that convinced Tom to do this.
Yes, and it worked. It worked. And I assume this is where the television future will go with these live events.
Last thing, did you see what Kevin Hart got Kraft and Belichick to do?
I didn't.
He got them to take a shot together.
Oh, I didn't see
Remember, the reports had been out there that Kraft had tried to help, you know, sabotage any possibility of Bill getting the Atlanta job and everything else.
Yeah.
And they even sort of addressed the tension between the two of them. But as Kevin Hart said, a black man got the two of them to come together at the end of that
thing
and have a shot together.
So good.
Belichick and Kraft. So that's what I'm saying.
I missed some of the end. I got about three quarters away, and I'm like, because I had to get up early, bring the kid to band this morning, but it was like, oof.
There were only a couple of slow spots. There were only a couple of those pro comedians. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't think it impressed me very much. But for the most part, whole thing goes off. And again, for a three-hour event, that's a football game in terms of time.
And it's going to be pretty good. Yeah.
Last question
I'll ask you on this topic of the roast, because somebody floated, I think it was on Sportsman, like our morning show floated this out there. Could LeBron James do what Tom Brady did last
night?
No.
It's why I was so impressed with Tom.
Yes.
Again, he gave them a free license, it looked like. License to hit whatever. Nothing was off limits.
And everything.
I mean, his family, did you hear the one that he had to Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
About,
It was, I forget how it went.
I don't have it. There was so much material last night. But essentially that your kids are at home with a lunatic right now. And Kanye. With their dad.
God, Gronk got a lot of heaters, man. Like, Gronk got it as bad as Tom did.
The other thing that they kept hitting.
Gronk got eviscerated.
And Tom hit this at the end. Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, my God.
The former Patriots.
His favorite white receiver.
No, you're talking about Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Aaron Hernandez, the tight end.
The dead guy.
Now dead.
Yeah. Ross, by the way, famously comes in with the flames coming from hell from visiting Aaron Hernandez.
Tom was talking about the instructions he would give his tight ends, like Gronk and Aaron Hernandez in the case. And he said the instructions were basically block, catch, and don't murder.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they went in Hernandez.
Oh yeah, his soul is not with it.
And there was no way you could sit up there and say, yeah, great player, great guy, like he says about everybody else.
No.
You can't do that about Aaron Hernandez.
No.
So they even went as far as to talk about the murderer, Aaron Hernandez, who died in prison. Obviously, I guess committed suicide. That was always I've seen debates on whether or not that was a suicide or not. Anyway. This roast.
Randy Moss is up there, and they're like, your favorite, your one black receiver. They were making fun of Randy Moss.
And I tell you what, I wondered if Randy was okay with Tom Brady calling him a B.
He did call him the B, yes.
Basically, it was in fun and everything else, but I think it was a bitch, please, type of deal. Saying that to a black that can always be dangerous.
You're cutting close
there. Randy handled it well.
Yeah,
again,
Randy was
nothing was off limits, and that's why it's worth the watch.
Gronk got it heavy, though. Like, he's like, even Gronk knew that crypto was bad. Crypto, bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Bitcoin,
everybody
bad.
Talked about it. He talks like a caveman, Neanderthal. Kind of like I'd said on Friday. They killed
so
him.
So funny.
So you can tell from good. Brad and I's giddiness about this, it's worth the watch.
Let's go to this cool event this weekend that you got to attend, and I'm so glad you did, and I want to hear all about it. It's Elliot Perry and Penny Hardaway at the event. Those two would have been the coldest backcourt the Tigers ever had, cap or no cap.
I wrote that for a reason because I wanted to hear you say the coldest. Will you do it again?
Penny and Elliot Perry would have been the coldest backcourt the Tigers ever had.
Are you familiar with the story? Before I answer, those that don't know, sort of the history of Memphis basketball, or maybe you just caught on here recently, or maybe you just missed those late 80s, early 90s years. Obviously, they included the end of Elliot Perry's career there and the beginning of Penny Hardaway, and for one season, they could have played together. However, Penny Hardaway was academically ineligible that season, so while Elliot Perry was closing out, Penny Hardaway was sitting out, and then it would be the next year that Penny Hardaway sort of took over. Yeah, it would have been that 90-91 season.
I'm glad you recapped this.
Would have been, I have to give you the background there. It would have been the 90-91 season.
Okay.
Penny, it was called Prop 48 back then, and Penny was ineligible, so he had to sit it out. Comes and then Elliot's career ends. Here's the story from this weekend, and we talked to you on Friday about what was going on at White Station this weekend. Just beautiful, beautiful. It's like a family reunion.
Yeah.
We Are Family alumni basketball series. Had 12 teams, essentially, high school teams, Memphis school teams, and others coming back. They're alumni, guys from 1985 all the way up to, 2015. I need to take a drink.
That's right. I'll make sure that we're talking about Elliot and Penny in the weekend event that we had here.
1985 to 2015. And you've got all these guys, all these old faces, felt like a family reunion.
Nice.
And then you hear this story.
Yeah.
So Penny Hardaway was there. And you kind of let the cat out of the bag with what we said, but this is where it needed to come out. And he brought a guest with him, a guest that he had gone personally himself to pick up, and that was Elliot Perry. I'd seen afterwards that Chan Douglas, the organizer of the event, Platform Basketball, had put out the story, showed a picture of the two of them together, and had said that Elliot had been picked up by Penny and brought to White Station personally in his car, went over to his house, picked
him
up.
This weekend?
Yeah, picked them up on Saturday. Yeah,
wow.
And picked them up and brought them to
so
the
he
event.
Cruised over
the
with
two
him.
Of them take pictures, but yes, Penny went to get Elliot.
Okay.
Now, some may not know, and I didn't realize it. I think this news may have been out there and it just missed me, and I felt terrible about it. But Elliot recently lost his mom.
Uh-huh.
And part of picking him up by Penny was to pick him up, to go get him out.
Physically, emotionally, the whole thing, yeah.
Go pick him up, get him out, and everything else.
I got you.
And,
oh, my goodness.
Like, how cool of a friend is that?
Oh,
again, two guys
coolest.
Didn't play each other, but two guys that have certainly recognized what might have been in 1991, but also how important each of them was. For Penny, EP comes before you, so you're on sort of standing on his shoulders, too, right? I mean, there's no question about that. And the respect level is as high as I'm sure
of course.
Penny has for any NBA player, any pro player, whatever else. But for Elliot, obviously, it's the same. And that level of respect. I mean, Elliot saw what the heights that Penny went on to. And, I'll just pull back the curtain a little bit. I won't say it all because I didn't ask Elliot if I could tell the story. But I wanted to confirm that Penny had gone and picked him up. I mean, this when I'm talking to Memphis basketball stories, this is the kind of stuff that if you follow that program, if you're a fan of that program, you get the goosebumps about the two of them together. And imagine being a fly in the car, listening to the conversations between Elliot and Penny as they made their way over to this thing. Elliot had told me that they talked during the season, but that they really got a chance for the first time to really rap. Not just, you know, about where Penny is with the job and everything else on their way over to this thing. And again, I think from my understanding, you know, Penny just wanted to get Elliot out and everything, help pick him up for everything Elliot's going through. I told Elliot, you know, I'm going, same thing, lost my mom in October in the sense that I'm still battling. And so just the respect I think that I'm trying, that I have for Penny in saying I'm going to be the guy that helps pick him up and go over there. And I even asked EP, man, because of what it does, seeing the two of them together in a picture like we did over the weekend, is it makes you think about sort of what might have been. Back to your question, would have been the coldest backcourt ever at Memphis if you had Elliot Perry, star, right, but just never seemed to have enough around him, and Penny Hardaway together in that 90-91 year.
Wow.
I'll read this part. This is what Elliot said. Man, I think about, he texted me this morning. Man, I think about all the time, and I know it would have helped me tremendously having not only a playmaker in the backcourt with me, but another scoring threat. Penny would have elevated my game and career. He's that special. That backcourt would have been a mix of everything. Playmaking, defense, scoring, and toughness. Like he like us, like those of us that have watched that thing and have always wondered, what if?
Ugh.
Even Elliot Perry still thinks about it. And yes, that although those two guys didn't get that chance to play together, they still are clearly extremely close. And I would say, man, that's a brotherly thing to do by Penny Hardaway to decide this weekend, you know what, I'm going to go pick up my guy. I'm going to go pick up EP. No, he's been through it. No, he's going through it. Remember, Penny's going through his own issues with his mom, who's been battling some health issues. That came out of the season. Now he'd sort of, you know, he's had one foot in, one foot out in a way because he's taking care of mom as sort of her provider, right? And she's going through her own health issues. So again, man, just to be in the Bentley or whatever the heck Penny was rolling that day with Elliot Perry to hear those stories and those two talk about Memphis basketball and maybe would have been, that's as good as it gets when it comes to Memphis basketball.
A great
event put on this weekend by Chan Douglas. I'll revisit that.
Yeah,
probably could feel it in Respect Burgers because a lot of other. I'm not just talking about University of Memphis basketball faces, but I'm talking about the faces of the culture of high school basketball in Memphis, of basketball period in this town. They were all out there on Saturday at White Station. For those of you that heard us talking about it on Friday, I hope you got a chance to go, and I hope something like this gets to continue for a while. Again, so big that it brought out some heavy hitters like Penny Hardaway and Elliot Perry.
Well, I look forward to hearing you talk about that. I was just going to ask you about it, so we'll get into that later and talk about that event at White Station. And I know this kid's close to home, so I'm proud of you for sharing that too. By the way,
great story.
I mean, Elliot, you know, going through this, Penny with his mom, it's like,
yeah, y'all be praying for, yeah, because again, you know, might have happened a month ago or whatever
life.
Else.
This
but,
is
a but
real life.
That
stuff.
Mom thing is a day to day, and especially as it hit me last week when I was doing the RIJ Mother's Day sale they got going on, especially as we get closer to Mother's Day. So,
totally
again, Penny Hardaway
Jason.
Picking up EP, taking him to the event.
I thought
it was an awesome deal.
I appreciate you. Memphis football, let's go there. Got an impactful addition out of the portal yesterday. This is the football portal now. They are getting former Oklahoma defensive lineman Reggie Grimes II. Is that cap or no cap?
It's no cap. I feel like he should be impactful now in the AAC after spending time in Oklahoma. And no, he wasn't a full-time guy, had 43 tackles during his career there. But once the number one rated prospect in the state of Tennessee, coming out of Antioch, 6'4", 278. And again, you think making the transition coming down, again, from Oklahoma to the AAC, whether it adds just depth or whether he can be a consistent playmaker for them, I think in one way or the other, he's going to end up helping you. They ended up getting another running back, I think, too, for a little depth. We know that Mario Anderson's got a firm hold, the South Carolina transfer, on the starting job. But with Jay Ducker having hit the portal, looked like they added a little bit of depth in the backfield as well. But I think Ryan Silverfield, for the most part, while most of it this offseason has been transferring out, the pieces that he's brought in and what he's got seem to have him pretty set up for not just to be the AAC favorite. I think that goes without saying, but a real shot in that playoff as the Group of Five representative. So I am very hopeful, yes, that coming down a level, Reggie Grimes II, again, formerly a number one prospect in the state, will be a good addition for the Memphis Tigers this season.
That is cap or no cap, a nice addition.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here, Jason.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You know, moms love flowers. They love jewelry on Mother's Day coming up this weekend, obviously on Sunday. And Howie's got just what you need over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie is going to take care of you because through Mother's Day, you can get a free Mother's Day bouquet with your purchase of $99 or more while supplies last. So I suggest you get over there before the rush. At the end of the week, you know how we men do. We procrastinate. So get ahead of it now while Howie still got those bouquets for you. You could spend that $99 on the To the Moon and Back Mother's Day diamond necklace. It features a mother and her child holding hands in the middle of a crescent moon. It's beautiful. And it's got To the Moon and Back engraved on it. She'll love it. And that one covers you for that $99. It'll get you that bouquet. They've also got a perfect gift for pet moms. Then we got a lot of those in Memphis. Maybe you don't have the kids, but you got the pets. So, Dad, get her a diamond paw necklace. That one starts at $119. You can go all the way up on those Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets. They're fantastic. She'll love them. You can wear one or stack a few for a bolder look. Available in white, yellow, or rose gold from $899 going all the way up to $5,999. So as you can see, whatever the budget is, Howie's got the perfect Mother's Day gift. And again, when you spend $99 or more, Robert Irwin Jewelers will reserve this vibrant, colorful bouquet for you. It's going to be ready for pickup the Friday and Saturday before Mother's Day. Free financing, 12 months, 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. Howie's got all the options. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices for the Mother's Day sale going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can check out all the details online at rijewelers.com. All right, real quick, as we wrap up hour number one, we'll have rundown, top of the hour, and then at 12:40, the segment that's sweeping the nation, the betting segment that's sweeping the nation, Fade Brad Carson. We've had great success there. I wanted to throw a take that was on First Take this morning from Kendrick Perkins, very strong one, and not one I'd seen. I don't know if he's just trying to be controversial, maybe get the ratings up, because they've been known to do that over at ESPN.
Yes.
May get a little clickbait and check him out. But Kendrick Perkins was on First Take this morning, and they were talking about LeBron James and his career, obviously. And here's what he said. I want to know what you think about it, Brad. I wish LeBron James would retire. Not because I don't want to see more of LeBron James. The more LeBron James continues to play the game of basketball, the more it's going to hurt his legacy, and the more it's going to continue to hurt his GOAT argument. Do you agree with Kendrick Perkins? Maybe not on the, well, you need to retire now, but do you agree with the, you know, sort of the gist of his take here?
I don't.
That LeBron can further hurt his GOAT status.
No, and maybe it's my age, and maybe it's because I followed Michael Jordan, and maybe it's because I saw Michael Jordan play at the United Center when he was in his heyday, and I saw Michael Jordan play in Washington, D.C. when he was in his low day as a Wizard. I went to a game in Washington, and he scored 20 points for a bad Wizards team, and he was not himself. I say all that to say I couldn't care less that Michael Jordan played for the Wizards and gave it another run there at the end after taking 2 years off, you know, basketball, went and played baseball, came back, won a title again. And I think that it's part of their story. It's part of being people who can't get away from the game. They're addicted to the game in some respects. You're trying to create a legacy. So, no, I totally disagree with him.
I think
we forget about Jordan playing for the Wizards.
No question, we do. But to the point, we don't hold it against him in a way that we say it hurt his legacy.
Not
Jordan
at all.
Was 6-0 in the finals, as you mentioned. And, I mean, the Wizards' days, they weren't even close to the way that LeBron is competing at this point.
Right.
In terms of where Mike was at that stage in his career. Now, I remember, Mike had gone to college and everything else. But the issue here is this. LeBron's legacy is cemented.
Yeah.
You know, even if he won another two titles to match Mike, you would still have some that would point to, well, if he won two more, you'd end up 6-6 in terms of finals appearances. Mike was 6-0. Like, you're not going to top
6-0
and 100% winning clip on that.
Yeah.
But back to the point, be 6-6, and you'd still have those that in the GOAT debate would hold that Mike's perfect record in the finals against him.
Yeah.
And they would say, LeBron, you got there 12 times. That's fantastic. But you only won half of them. LeBron right now is at 4-6 in his finals appearances. He's won four titles. And no, while it doesn't compare to Mike's, it's 10 finals. He is now also the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, having passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I go totally opposite Kendrick here. LeBron James at this point is still beating Father Time with the way I realize the Lakers didn't go as far as they wanted to. They fired Darvin Ham. I mean, right now it's championship or bust for them in LeBron's final years. But my point is this: the longer he goes, the more amazing this is. Actually, it helps the GOAT debate, his GOAT debate. Set aside the
longevity.
Titles,
yeah.
The longevity helps him. It's one of the better things he's got in the argument that he could have gone this long. And remember, you're talking about somebody, 18, 19, ain't come in the league, hadn't had any real issues in terms of off the court suspensions or anything like that, was under a microscope from the day he came into the league, and for the most part has been dominant ever since he came in. Like, that run, we didn't get this sort of run into possibly your 40s from Michael Jordan. Back to the point, it's not Wizards Michael Jordan that we're watching. We're watching a guy that can still take over a basketball game. Can he do it in the way that he used to? No. And frankly, with Anthony Davis, you'd think, man, you should be able to put a little bit more of a supporting cast around him and be more competitive. But back to the point, when I think about the GOAT debate, and this came up recently, of course I'm going to pick Mike. I'm like you. I watched it, went undefeated in the finals. Mike's on that plane, and it's going to be hard for me to – but I have had to consider the fact that Mike's rebounding numbers, right? Here's the other part.
Yes.
Rebounding, the playmaker that LeBron James is. When you take all factors into consideration, and at the top of the list, I think you have to have longevity, right? And so the longer he goes, the more amazing this becomes. Yeah, probably won't end in another championship appearance or another championship. But, Brad, I think he's only adding to his legacy.
I think that's a really good
point.
When
we watch him continue to come back year after year, and really we're looking for these signs of fall off.
Yep.
We were doing that with Brady there towards the end, and he's still winning a title with Tampa Bay. I realized that last year looked like he was scared to get hit. But the point was, man, we didn't see it till the very, very end. I haven't seen that from LeBron. Sure, he's not as above the rim, but in terms of the production itself, again, I think that Kendrick here is wrong. He's not hurting himself in the GOAT debate. He's actually helping himself the longer he goes, even if it is without title.
Yep. No, I think that's something I didn't consider, but it's one of the reasons.
Mike didn't have that.
No, and it's one of the reasons that makes it awesome watching LeBron James. It's almost like bittersweet in a way, because I think that the GOAT thing, it's beyond compare now, and I don't think
now most people roll their eyes at the whole discussion.
They're
so tired.
But you and I are also people, and I think I'm not trying to speak for you, but I'm not changing on that. That ship sailed, I think.
Well, clearly that Kendrick thinks that the GOAT debate hinges on number of titles, because his point is that if LeBron continues to go on, he's likely not going to win titles, and we'll see the basketball level get.
I agree with that part of it.
But I would tell you again, if LeBron won two more and he matched Mike's six, people would still hold the six losses.
Yes.
The six losses against him.
Agree.
In that conversation, you lose.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Kendrick is hinging his argument too much on the titles and not focusing enough on how amazing this is.
Well,
I don't like how dramatic LeBron is at this point in his career, the flopping, everything else. And I don't like, frankly, the way that he is responsible for firing Darvin Ham. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. When Darvin Ham didn't challenge that call and LeBron's sitting there crying like a baby about it, it pretty much sealed his fate. I have no doubt about that. And so I don't like sort of the way that LeBron's, hey, you bring him in, you put your arm around him, you're the guy, and then a year or two later, you're firing that guy.
Like, it's no
because,
good.
Again, I would tell you that wasn't a Darvin Ham issue as much as it was. And I'm not telling you he's the greatest coach. But as much as it was a roster issue, you got D'Angelo out there wilding, talking about I'm having a great series, but not even in the game huddle like that. The supporting cast just was absolutely obliterated against Denver. And so for the most part, like I said, it wasn't a Darvin Ham issue. But I have an issue with Kendrick not looking at this in the right way and not realizing the longer LeBron goes at this level. Yeah, maybe it comes down a little bit more next year. But I think that helps as opposed to hurts LeBron in the GOAT debate. It will never be settled. Because, again, like I say, LeBron could win two more. It's not done. The Jordan stands will still say 6-0 versus 6-6. But right now at 4-6, it's not just for all those reasons. Listen, LeBron for a while didn't want to take that last shot. I don't care what anybody says. I realize he's hit more game winners now, and a part of that is because of longevity than Michael Jordan. But there was a time in his career where LeBron, because of how inconsistent he was at the free throw line, was scared. Michael Jordan never scared. Michael Jordan never scared. That's another reason why I still hold him up. But I have had to open myself up, basically because of LeBron's longevity, because he passed Kareem as the all-time leading scorer, because it's not just scoring, it's rebounding and assists and playmaking from LeBron James. I've had to open myself up to, you might be a little bit too, a little bit too convicted here on Mike, because by the time LeBron's done, if he goes another 2 years, say he renegotiates the contract, does another 1-1. He could go 2 years and play, 41?
Yeah.
And I don't see the drop-off, but maybe so, but I don't see it. I figure we'll get a lot more antics right, as he gets lower and lower before the rim, below the rim and everything else, and a lot more crying. But I am – listen, as much as I hold Jordan up there, I have a great deal of respect for the King. And, frankly, I think the longer he goes, the better for him in terms of his clout. In the GOAT debate.
In that Club Shay Shay pod that we played some of it last week, Charles Barkley also said the same thing. He said he doesn't want to see any great players play when they're past their prime. And to that, I would say it hasn't looked like so far that LeBron has not lost his fastball.
Didn't he almost say he was like one rebound away from a triple double in that last game?
Yes.
They were eliminated.
He's leading his team.
It's unbelievable.
No, he's the leader on the team.
I mean, I give credit to Anthony Davis too, especially regular season this year. He was there for. They don't have enough with just those two.
Yes.
And it should have been a better supporting cast, but. No, man, I'm even as a Jordan stan, I can't disrespect what LeBron has done. And I think if you're having an honest discussion, it's LeBron's longevity that he has over Mike and always will.
I think that's a great point, and I think it's
he's arguing this the wrong way.
And
it's actually a good thing.
It's right for his legacy. His legacy is going to be different, and he's also putting space between these records now. Think about, is it possible that somebody could get close in the next 50 years of basketball to that record? And I would say no, because, you know,
who's going to come in and dominate that early?
Who's going to and start that early and finish that late? Like,
and
no one.
As consistent throughout
all the way through.
You can't have 3, 4, 5 years of injury issues and everything else and fall
no
off.
Baseball,
you're not touching
no
his,
baseball here, go I mean, other sports.
The scoring
and all this stuff.
Record puts him up there.
Yes.
You know, and again, it's something Mike doesn't have. But, yeah, man, I'll still roll with Mike on this, but I think Kendrick Perkins absolutely wrong. That LeBron's hurting his legacy the longer he plays. I think it adds to his legacy, frankly. It ain't about titles. I mean, sure, he wants more, but you're not going to win the LeBron GOAT debate with the titles. You win the LeBron GOAT debate with the longevity, right? We got to take a break. We'll come back, do rundown. David Jones, some news there over the weekend, obviously. Also for Naquan Tomlin as well, as they pursue their dreams of NBA. We got all that and more in the rundown of Kentucky Derby. Brad going to give us a rundown of that as well. I guess fierceness in the 17. Nobody's ever won out of the 17. That's what I should have known going into that when I was talking to
Drew. They were trying to talk us into it.
We'll talk about all that in the rundown. We mentioned at 12:40. We'll do Faye, Brad. A lot more to come in the second and third hours. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.